Chapter 12.
Once we were a short distance away from the entrance to the New Haven Caves, Grug lifted the three of us up onto his shoulders, and we clung to the tendrils of his hair and to the lobe of his ear as we balanced near the massive man's collarbone. The sun rose bright and hazy an hour or so later, but we were already getting close to the edge of the Sunrise Mountains by that point. We made swift time riding on Grug's shoulders, but it was still slow going through the boulders and crevices of the mountains. The giant did his best to find good footholds, but there were a couple of instances where he slipped, and we nearly toppled to the ground. There were both pros and cons to being up so high. It would be certain death if I fell from this height, but one of the benefits was the view. The foothills of the Sunrise Mountains slid away into the dense green foliage of the forest below us, and the rainbow-colored sky cast a warm glow to every living thing within our sights. It reminded me of the Lion King, when Mufasa had told Simba that everything the light touched was their kingdom. Soon it would be all under my rule, and I would be a much more benevolent leader than the Dark King by far.
"Where should we go first?"
Una asked in an eager voice.
"The Happy Fields? Mushroom Valley? Oh, we should go back to Havenwood and see if anyone still lives there."
"All great ideas, my feline friend. But I believe we need a systematic approach to the task. It would do us no good to spend all our time and Grug's energy zigzagging across all the land."
"You've got a point. We should get to the canyon first and work our way back toward the Sunrise Mountains. That way we know we didn't miss anyone in the surrounding areas who could have joined our army."
"We will have forces to make the Dark King's minions weep with despair,"
May chortled, and she pulled out her pipe.
"The minions of light will never fail."
"Not with us at their head."
"Oh, but it is you who leads us, fair dreamer.
And he's a great leader, too,"
Una added with a bright smile. "I'm glad the two of you are with me," I said, as I flashed them both a cheeky grin. "I'd forget I was the dreamer otherwise." With a destination in mind, Grug set a course for the western edge of the area of the map I'd already explored, and his long, swift gait ate away at the miles. We watched while the sun climbed higher and higher into the sky, and the crunch of Grug's feet through the underbrush created a background soundtrack that was almost soothing. I didn't see any signs of life or any inhabitants as we passed, but that didn't say much. The mole people had been well hidden, after all. It was strange, though, to see the land so deserted and empty. Maybe Grug's footsteps scared people off, or the nightmare hounds had chased everyone even deeper into hiding. But I would soon find out.
"We should sing the Song of Prophecy,"
May suggested, after a while of riding in silence.
"To inform anyone nearby that we aren't minions of darkness."
"Oh, that's a wonderful idea,"
Una breathed, and then she sang the opening line of the song. But May instantly fell into harmony with the cat girl. My lovers sang for what seemed like the next hour, but no one appeared to join in. I wouldn't let that discourage me, though, so I kept my eyes peeled for any signs of movement in the trees below us. It was impossible to rest on Grug's massive shoulders, since they swayed too much with every step he took. But I kept eyeing his meaty hands longingly, and I eventually whispered my request in the giant's ear. "Think we could spend some time on your hands?" I asked in a hopeful tone, loud enough for the giant to hear me over the crunch of his footfalls.
"Yes, dreamer,"
Grug grunted, before he lifted the flat of his hand up to his shoulder like an elevator.
"You need your rest."
The two women climbed onto the giant's hand with me, and we lounged against the pads of his fingers as he held his hand curled up against his chest. It was like we were floating in a nest far above the ground, but then I noticed lights twinkling in the distance. What are those things?
Firebugs,
Una breathed, as the lights reflected in her large violet eyes.
"Lots of them. Oh, I didn't think it was late enough in the season for them yet, but it's been so long since we left Havenwood."
"Firebugs, huh? Back on Earth, we call them fireflies."
"Oh, that does sound similar,"
May noted with a puff of her pipe.
"Do they wreak havoc on Earth as well?"
Wait, they actually start fires here?
"Only when prompted by fear."
"Let's not get too close to them, then," I said, and I poked Grug twice to signal I wanted to talk to him. The giant man lifted his hand up to his face, and I gave him instructions to give the firebugs a wide berth, since I didn't want to start a massive fire across the forests. Then we resumed our march. A short while later, we spotted the shadow of the giant sequoia tree where Havenwood was built into the boughs and branches. Even Grug wasn't taller than the several hundred-foot-tall tree, but it was cool to see it looking somewhat miniaturized nonetheless. There were no lights in the structures, and the town looked just as deserted as when we'd left it behind, but I would return on our way back to New Haven just in case. The dreamer would leave no stones unturned in his quest for an army. The sun began to set as Havenwood drifted away behind us, but still Grug carried us on into the dimming light. The giant lumbered along without complaint, but I could sense his exhaustion through his stoic demeanor. It wasn't until his steps began to noticeably slow that I forced him to take a break, but by then we were all starving and ready to eat anyway. "You did good today, Grug," I complimented, as I patted the giant's palm, but it was the closest approximation to a high five I'd be able to give him for a while. "We'll make camp and start again in the morning." Grug grunted as the flesh of his neck darkened to a rosy hue, but he waved a dismissive hand that caused a breeze to rustle my hair. Who needed air conditioning with a giant around? I was learning more and more about the benefits of Grug's company, and I was glad I'd decided to take him with us on our quest.
"Do you want me to keep the first watch, Dreamer?"
the giant volunteered in an eager voice. "Sounds good to me," I grinned. "Did you happen to spy any noodle or other food trees nearby?"
"Aye, I saw a few,"
Grug nodded, and his gaze swept to the forest to our left. I followed the trajectory of his eyes, and I noticed the willow-like tree made up of spaghetti noodles. My mouth instantly watered, and I nudged the two women at my sides. "Check it out! Dinner awaits us!"
"Oh, oh, oh! Yumminess awaits! To the noodle tree, Grug!"
Una cackled as she pointed her tiny finger at the tree in the distance.
"I must have all the noodles."
"Yes, ma'am, cat lady."
Grug laughed, and the sound was like booming thunder, but it lifted my spirits to see the massive man so happy. The giant stomped through the trees, and the branches of the canopy slapped against his knees. It was only a couple of breaths later when we were being carefully lowered to the ground, and the three of us stumbled from the giant's palm to the dirt with shaky legs. None of us wasted any time going straight for the food tree, though, and by the time I'd regained feeling in my knees, I had a mouthful of spaghetti. The red sauce was just as delicious as the first time I'd enjoyed it, and the moans escaping my lips made Una and May both look at me with surprise.
"What? It's almost as good as you two."
"Almost?"
Una tilted her head to one side.
"It is savory and sweet."
"You are savory, sweet, and everything in between, my dear," I said, before I slurped a noodle between my lips while simultaneously waggling my eyebrows. My lovers giggled at my antics, and we spent the rest of the night exchanging jokes and silly faces. Even Grug joined in with his own sense of humor, but I often didn't understand the punchline.
"There was a tree one time,"
Grug said, as he poked me with a meaty finger to get my attention.
"It smiled at me, so I punched it.
So you said." I chuckled politely, but then I yawned.
"I think we should camp here for the night. The hill gives us a good vantage point, and we can eat more in the morning before we leave."
"Good idea, Dreamer."
May leaned back with a satisfied sigh, and the dodo woman retrieved her pipe from her vest pocket. She lit it, puffed, and exhaled.
"Although I may be keen for more than a snack tonight."
I instantly picked up on the double meaning to her words, and my blood heated at the mere suggestion of time alone with the bombshell bird woman. But I wasn't sure if it was a good idea to separate from the group. We could run into nightmares, or worse, nightmare hounds. The minions of darkness were much harder to see and track in the dark, since they blended in with every shadow, like they were rejoining the void that spawned them. But in the daylight, the monochrome trail they left behind made them easy enough to avoid. "There's still a lot to eat," I said, as I gestured to the tree. "Grug is taking the first watch, so I'm going to get a few hours of sleep. We'll see how bored you are when I wake up." I finished by flashing the dodo woman a mischievous wink, and she returned the gesture with an eager smile.
"I look forward to when you're well rested,"
she said, as color brightened her cheeks. I pulled out my sleeping roll and used my pack as a pillow, but it didn't take me very long to fall asleep. I knew Grug was watching over us, and the other two women would alert me as soon as they heard a single noise, so it was easy to relax myself into a slumber. I dreamed of May and Una dancing naked before me, and the hypnotic movements of their hips kept me entertained for what felt like hours. But then I heard someone clearing their throat. I woke up a little confused, and it took me a couple of moments to remember where we were, since the dream of my lovers had felt very realistic. I was surprised to find myself fully clothed beneath my sleeping roll, but May noticed my eyes open and quickly crossed the distance to me.
"I would steal you away for a moment if you'll let me, Dreamer,"
the Dodo woman whispered in a conspiratorial tone.
It has been too long since I was filled to the brim with your magic seed. I need to feel you throbbing and emptying inside me, at your earliest convenience. In other words, post-haste, if you would not mind.
By the time she finished her request, I was rock hard, and I couldn't deny the desire coursing through my veins at the mere thought of being alone with the sexy Dodo woman. I cast a glance around the campsite, but Una was curled up in a blanket by the fire, and Grug stood with his back to us while he watched the horizon. They wouldn't miss me for a little while if we snuck away. I'd be happy to, but let's not go too far. If Una or Grug shout, I want to be able to get back quickly.
Then they may hear the gasps you elicit from me,
May countered with a wink.
But I do not think they will mind.
Fair enough. I pushed myself to my feet, and May slid her hand into mine as she led me away from the campsite into the shadows. Once we were out of sight of the fire, May swiveled and seized my mouth in a passionate kiss that instantly had my blood boiling. My cock strained against my pants, but the frisky Dodo woman slid a hand over the fabric to grip my member firmly, and she swallowed the moan escaping my lips. Oh, May, you get me hard so easily. It's like you have power over my cock or something.
No, Alex,
the Dodo woman argued with a shake of her head.
You're the one with the desirable power. I am lucky to be one of your chosen lovers.
Show me how lucky you feel, I urged as I ground my crotch into her hand. I want you to make me come.
Oh, that is exactly my intention,
May informed me as a smile curled her lips upward, and then she sank to her knees in front of me. I barely had time to inhale before she whipped out my cock and sucked it into her mouth. But that was the last solid breath I was able to take for several moments. Fuck, May. My head rolled back as May's experienced tongue swiped over my tip, and I lost myself in the wet sensations of her lips sliding up and down my shaft. May came up for air with a wet plop, and she grinned up at me while she stroked my length with one hand.
Do not expend your seed into my mouth, Alex. I want all your magic for myself.
Dr. Kriya still thinks it works orally, I pointed out as I gasped for air. Just not as strong.
I want the maximum strength of your magic flowing in my veins,
May insisted in a husky voice as she continued to stroke me.
So, won't you please pour into my womanhood?
Then you better strip off your fucking clothes soon, or you're going to make me come all over your face, I warned with an animalistic growl of desire. May wasted no time in rising to her feet and pulling off her waistcoat, but I grew impatient for her flesh to be bared, so I moved to assist her. I pulled her vest off her shoulders and began to tear off her white, ruffled shirt. But May turned her fingers to my waistband, and I wasn't going to do anything to impede her. Finally, the two of us stood as naked as the day we were born, and our clothes were piled together in a heap nearby. I stared in awe at May's beauty for a long moment, but then we were each in each other's arms, and our tongues danced the tango while our hands roamed across one another's skin. Oh, you drive me crazy, I murmured, as I trailed kisses along the pale flesh of her neck and bare shoulders. I want to hear you moan my name.
Oh, your wish is my command, Alex,
May breathed, and she ran her nails across my back until goosebumps erupted in the trail left by her fingers. My own hand drifted down between her legs, and I cupped her mound firmly before I dipped a single finger into her crevice. The Dodo woman moaned and rolled her hips to grind her clit against my digit, and I quickly pulled away. Slow, I whispered with a teasing smile. I'll build you up until you burst, don't worry. But in the meantime, I'm going to have some fun with you.
Oh, it is very enjoyable when you tease me,
May agreed with a small nod, but she bit her bottom lip as I returned my finger to her clit. I rubbed and rolled my digit over her node of pleasure until she began to twitch beneath my touch. And then I slid a finger into her moist well, but I thrust with tauntingly slow motions, until May threw back her head with a loud gasp. Wetness drenched my finger an instant later, and I chuckled knowingly as I brought the digit to my lips to suck it clean of her love juices. May's face was flushed in a bright red hue as she panted for breath, but her light blue eyes were dilated in the darkness. Bend over, I commanded, as I grabbed her hips and swiveled her around.
Oh, yes, Alex,
May gasped as she clutched onto the nearby tree, and the Dodo woman jutted her ass into the air. May's dripping wet pussy glistened in the dim light of the neon green moon, and my cock lunged upward in a demand to be inside the sexy dodo woman. So I stepped forward to do exactly that. "Oh, fuck, you're sexy," I breathed as I pulled her ass cheeks apart to reveal her wet slit. My cock was already reaching for her entrance, so it took little effort to guide it toward her slick opening. "I could do this with you for the rest of my life and be happy."
"Oh, that is the goal,"
May breathed, but then she gasped as I slid my entire length inside her in one swift motion. The dodo woman threw her head back, and her white tendrils danced across the pale skin of her lower back, so I wrapped my fist in her hair to gain leverage to fuck her with. May's sounds were music to my ears as she began to pant heavily, and her groans of pleasure were guttural and deep.
Oh, harder, dreamer!
Fuck yes, I growled as I obliged, and I slammed my cock into her tunnel with all my strength. May whimpered each time my head grazed against the entrance to her womb, but then I dug in deep and ground my hips against her ass, and the dodo woman moaned long and loud.
Alex!
May's voice rose to a crescendo as her pussy started to spasm around my shaft.
Oh, you're gonna make me do it again?
Oh, come for me, baby, I groaned, and I struggled to maintain my self-control as my balls began to tighten. Come all over my dick.
Fuck!
May shuddered as the climax gripped her entire body, but I continued to slam into her at a ruthless pace. Keep going, I urged in a breathless voice as I furiously pumped my hips. Listening to the sounds her mouth made when she moaned and the sounds her pussy made when I fucked her nearly drove me over the edge. But I was so entranced by the noises escaping her lips that it was easier to contain the blast about to explode from my balls. Then I grabbed her ass firmly in both hands, and I smacked the slapping cheeks as she drove her hips back into me. I'm playing you like a fucking fiddle, I teased as I clung to my willpower. But I never ceased the movements of my hips, and May's orgasm continued to lengthen.
Oh, I wish to sing for you,
May gasped, and her moans took on a melodic quality. It was literal music to my ears at this point, and I shook my head in awe at the talents of the dodo woman. My cock twitched, and I could feel the veins along my shaft bulge as my own climax drew closer and closer with each thrust inside the dodo woman's tight pussy. But I ground my teeth to extend my self-control just a little bit longer. I wanted more. More moans, more orgasms, more utterances of my name from her lips. Turn around, I growled, as I forced myself to pull out of her drenched tunnel. May obliged with a breathless gasp, and she instantly lifted her leg into my waiting arm so I could fuck her face to face while we stood in the shadows of the forest. I slid back inside her welcoming entrance, and we both moaned in unison as her warmth enveloped me. Then her muscles started to convulse around my shaft, and multicolored stars burst across my vision.
Oh, Alex!
May breathed, and her gaze was glowing with adoration before I swooped down to kiss her. My nose and her small beak smushed together, but I didn't care as I delved my tongue into her mouth. I wanted to be as close to her as possible, and I pulled her other leg into my right arm so her entrance was brought even tighter around my girth.
Oh, yes!
May clung to my shoulders and threw her head back with a blissful sigh, but then her moans rose in volume until they echoed all around us.
Oh, yes! Yes, yes! Alex, just like that!
I imagined Una and Grug would easily be able to hear the noises we were making, but I didn't care. The beautiful cat girl would simply be pleased I had shared some of my magic seed, and Grug would probably pretend he hadn't noticed. In any case, the entire world could be listening in, and I would still continue to fuck May senseless. I lifted her hips and slammed her onto my cock with such force it knocked the air from her lungs, and I let out a deep guttural growl with each heavy thrust. Sweat dripped down my spine and off the bridge of my nose, but neither May nor I paid any heed to it. The dodo woman's skin was flushed bright pink and dappled with perspiration, but her eyes were rolling into the back of her head as another orgasm froze her limbs in place. I didn't relent my assault on her tight little pussy, though, and a moment later, her legs were shaking uncontrollably. It was the best orgasm I'd elicited from her yet, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, maybe just as much as she did. Did you like that, babe?
Alex,
May growled, and her pussy tightened around my shaft like a well-oiled fist. It was like she was doing Kegels or something, because her tunnel massaged my cock with precision and expertise, and my carefully controlled willpower began to crumble. You're gonna make me explode if you keep that up.
Fill me up with your magic seed, Alex.
May begged, as she dug her fingers into my shoulders.
Come deep inside me. Pour your ocean of life into my grateful chalice.
I thrust harder and harder, and May reached out to pull my hips into her even harder. But with every pump, she let out a cry from deep in her throat that set my blood on fire. My balls twitched and throbbed with the need for release, but I wanted one more orgasm from the bombshell bird before I relented my control. Come here, I commanded, as I pulled suddenly free from her tunnel, and I quickly laid out her waistcoat on the ground before I laid on my back. Then I pulled May into a cowgirl position on top of me, and the dodo woman obediently straddled me before she lowered herself onto my cock once more. I hissed with pleasure as her warmth wrapped around my shaft again, and May leaned back so her breasts jutted into the neon green moonlight, filtering through the canopy of the trees.
Alex!
The dodo woman groaned as she rolled her hips around in a figure eight, and I quickly realized I'd made a mistake by letting her take control of the pace. The frisky bird hybrid was likely to make me come after only a few strokes, and right on cue, May set a brisk pace with the rise and fall of her hips. How much do you want? I asked in a guttural voice.
I want to be filled to the brim with your magic,
May gasped as she bounced up and down. The movement caused her breasts to jiggle wonderfully, and I stared up at her lithe form in rapt fascination as I surrendered to the sensations overwhelming me. The dodo woman grinned knowingly down at me, and I slowly closed my eyes, and then she placed a gentle pressure on my throat as she rode me. Oh, fuck! I gasped, and my balls twitched for the final time. May slammed her ass cheeks down onto my groin, and my cock twitched deep inside her tunnel as I released a torrential spray of sperm that coated her insides. I pumped my hips upward as more and more of my sperm exploded inside of May's tight little pussy. But her tunnel clenched around me even tighter than ever before. We came simultaneously as her nails dug into the flesh of my bare chest. But I paid no heed to the deep scratches blooming in my flesh as I emptied my balls into May over and over again. You're incredible, I breathed as my twitching slowly subsided.
No, Alex,
May whispered before she nuzzled her beak against my throat. Her breaths came in ragged pants, and she made no move to lift herself off my body.
You are. I am gushing with your gift. It feels amazing.
We should get back to the others and let Grug get some rest, I said a few minutes later, once I'd caught my breath. But I was loath to leave the warmth of her cum-slick tunnel.
If we must,
May sighed, and she rolled her hips in a figure eight one more time before she rose to her feet. My sperm dripped down the inside of her creamy white thighs, and when she caught me looking at her entrance, the dodo woman pushed the tendrils deeper inside her tunnel.
None shall go to waste,
May promised with a sly smile.
I must gather all the power of your magic inside my womb, maybe even bring new life to all the land.
I swallowed hard as the image of a pregnant May flashed before my mind's eye. But I didn't hate the idea. This dream world was becoming more and more real with each passing day, and it was starting to look like I would never return to Earth. But I wouldn't want to, even if I could. I might as well settle in and start a family with the beautiful animal people I'd claimed as my lovers. Maybe someday. I shook my head to dispel my racing thoughts, and I gave May a sheepish smile. Right now, I'm more worried about recruiting an army than I am in creating one for the next generation.
Fair enough,
May chuckled as she pulled her ruffled shirt over her head to my disappointment. But I was the one who'd reminded her of our companions waiting for us at the campsite. I joined May at our pile of clothing, and I placed a sweet kiss upon her lips before I pulled my pants onto my legs. Then I slid my arms into the sleeves of my vest-like shirt, and I returned my curved sword to my waist. A few moments later, we rejoined the others around the fire, but Una was still fast asleep. I couldn't imagine her being able to sleep through the noises we'd been making nearby, but I was glad to see her resting nonetheless. Grug grunted at our arrival, but relief flashed across his face and heavy bags hung under his eyes.
I'll take the next watch,
May offered as she pushed me toward my sleeping roll.
I feel strong and powerful, so I will be awake for a while.
Thanks,
Grug grunted, and he curled up into a ball right where he sat before closing his eyes with a sigh. I drifted away from May, but our fingers lingered in a locked embrace for a long moment as I slowly pulled away. Then I was laying down once more, and sleep took me just as swiftly as before. I had a smile plastered on my face as I closed my own eyes, and my dreams were full of May's noises. Una shook me awake around dawn the next morning, and I blinked up at the rainbow-colored sky in confusion.
What happened to our roof?
I asked as I rubbed the sleep from my eyes and refocused my gaze on the sky. But then the previous day's travel returned to me in a flash.
Never mind. I remember now.
You were speaking to me with your eyes closed,
Una informed me with an adorable tilt of her head.
What did I say?
I asked as curiosity bloomed in my gut.
Pizza,
Una informed me with a shrug.
Makes sense.
We ate a breakfast of spaghetti and travel bread, but then we put out the fire and returned to our trek. Grug carried us in his hand, and I decided I much preferred it to the shoulder, despite losing the better view. The comfort of his palm was far more important than seeing where we were going, in my opinion.
To the canyon, Grug!
I declared, as I pointed to the northwest.
Yes, dreamer!
Grug chuckled and bounded forward with massive steps. The landscape slid away behind us through the giant's fingers, and the sun slowly arched higher into the rainbow-colored sky as we traveled toward the canyon on the edge of the map in my brain. The forests were beautiful, but I was glad we were able to bypass the majority of the distance with a few well-placed footsteps. Still, the land looked deserted, but Una and May continued to sing the song of the dreamer to let the people in hiding know we were the good guys. We stopped for lunch when Grug spotted a bacon tree, and the four of us devoured every crispy tendril hanging from the limbs. Then we were off once more, and we reached the vast hole in the dirt before the sun dropped to the west and completely out of sight.
We'll make camp here,
I said, as I looked around and decided it was as good of a place as any. With Grug on our side, it was unlikely that anyone would fuck with us, but we could never be too careful. We'll keep watching shifts, but I'll go first.
I know of a few people who live around these parts. I will arrange meetings with them in the morning.
Perfect, I nodded. Una, Grug, you two get some sleep. We'll all need to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed in the morning.
I'm always bushy-tailed,
Una pointed out with a confused tilt of her head, and said tail fluffed out behind her as if to agree.
Oh, you're usually bright-eyed as well,
May added in an undertone.
It's just a saying from Earth. You, all the landers, take everything so literally.
We say what we mean and mean what we say,
May countered, and she settled into a cross-legged position before pulling out her pipe. And I love that about you, I agreed. We fell into a routine, setting up the campfire and our sleeping rolls, but I let the others relax while I paced around the perimeter and watched out for nightmares. The shadows lengthened, and the darkness spilled into the canyon like ink. It was soon too dark to make out much detail, so I grabbed one of the less burned sticks from the fire and lifted the flame above my head. With the aid of the makeshift torch, I was able to see for several paces around me, but there wasn't nearly enough moonlight for my tastes. I was up before dawn the next morning, since I was able to sleep most of the night after taking the first watch, but I was ready to begin the hard part of our quest. Namely, finding the people living in all the land to recruit into my army. I roused the two women, but Grug was already awake on the last and final watch shift, and we ate a quick breakfast before I discussed our plans for the day. You said you know people who live around here, right, May?
Aye.
The Dodo woman nodded as she pulled on her pipe, but she let out the smoke in a deep exhale.
I know of a hidden village of mushroom people who live nearby.
Awesome. I rubbed my hands together. Which direction?
Of this, I am uncertain,
May shrugged.
They move their village often.
So how do we find it?
We could all look in different directions.
I can see far.
The mushroom people are small,
May argued with a shake of her head.
And shy, but they are fiercely loyal to those they claim as mycelium. Plus, they can communicate over their vast networks faster than the wings of a bird can fly. As an added bonus, they know more about plant life of all the land than any other. I'm sure they could teach even the doctor some things about plant medicine. They will not be easily spotted, but I am confident they will come to my call. I created a special song to summon them for when I plan to visit.
Perfect, I said, as I let out a low exhale of relief. I didn't want to spend weeks searching the Mushroom Valley for inhabitants, after all. Whenever you're ready.
What are you going to say to them?
Una tilted her head to the side. hadn't really thought about that. I confessed, as I raked a hand through my hair. I suppose I'll just speak from the heart?
You should plan out your words while I sing. It will take some time for them to arrive.
How will they hear you? Curiosity about this mushroom people summoning song bloomed in my gut. But if I knew May, I'd just have to wait and see for myself.
Oh, the mycelium network, of course.
May chirped with a wave of her pipe.
They are all connected beneath the dirt.
That makes sense, I guess.
Mushroom people are a strange lot. Don't taste good when they talk.
We probably shouldn't mention that you've tried to eat some of them while we're having our chat. We want them on our side.
I'll keep my trap shut.
Grug agreed easily enough. May moved closer to the giant mushrooms on the edge of Mushroom Valley, and the dodo woman cleared her throat before she began to sing. The song had no words, but her vocals shifted and rose to a crescendo that brought tears to my eyes. As she completed one cycle, she flashed me a pointed look over her shoulder, and I turned my focus back to planning my speech for the mushroom people. I tried to envision what mushroom people would look like, and I had a flash of Toad from Super Mario Brothers. Depending on if they had arms or not, it could be possible for them to hold swords and train normally, but if not, then I would have to come up with some clever ways to include them in my battle strategies. The way May described them definitely made them sound like an asset, though. I would just have to wait and see. I still had no clue what to say to these people when they arrived, so my thoughts drifted back over the reason I was doing this in the first place. I remembered the hostile and suspicious treatment I'd received when I'd first arrived in this section of all the land, and the hope the title of the Dreamer produced almost instantaneously. I couldn't lean too heavily on the prophecy stuff since I wanted these people to follow me on their own merits, but it would be necessary to mention it. I'd brought a few potions with me just in case I needed to prove myself, but I hoped the eyewitnesses would do the trick so I could save my valuable resources for when I would need them the most. Then I spotted eyes beneath the shadows of the giant mushroom caps, and I inhaled sharply as a mushroom woman came into view. She had long black eyelashes over deep brown eyes, but instead of hair, there was a bulbous, soft-looking mushroom cap on top of her head. She was short, maybe 4 feet tall at most, but where a mushroom would have a stalk, this person had the body of a woman, dressed in a lacy, almost see-through brown tunic. It was like an elf wearing a mushroom cap as a hat, and the combination was both adorable and unsettling. Moments later, the shadows were full of blinking brown eyes, peering at our campsite with obvious curiosity. But the mushroom people hesitated to leave the shadows of the giant mushrooms. "It's okay," I said in a soft voice as I beckoned them in closer. "We aren't here to hurt you. May is my friend, and she brought me here to talk to all of you. Please, come warm yourselves by our fire, or do whatever you need to feel comfortable." A few of the mushroom people came forward at my words, and I scanned over the strange faces one by one until I was encircled by weird elf-looking mushroom people. But the resemblance to garden gnomes could not be ignored. When a sizable crowd had gathered around our fire, May's song ceased, and the dodo woman came to stand proudly by my side. Grug came to his feet behind me, and several of the mushroom people cowered beneath his intimidating presence, but I was okay with that. Let them see the strength I had at my back, and maybe they would feel safer allying themselves with me rather than in remaining independent. I cleared my throat as I leveled a friendly smile at each of the mushroom people, but then I began my speech in a loud, clear voice, and the words just felt right as they flowed out of my mouth. I came here a while ago, but I have been in all the land long enough to witness the shadows. I paused for dramatic effect as I evaluated how my words were being received by the mushroom people. But my gaze was met with rapt attention and utter silence. It has been a very long time since the great turmoil, but we are still affected by those dark days. How many of you have lost loved ones to the opposition effects? Even one is too many. My doctor is working on a cure made from my body, and even though it is still early in the experimentation process, there is still hope. I barely had the chance to pause before the cheers started, and I saw Una and May both puff out their chests with pride in my peripheral vision. My two animal women lovers knew personally how powerful my possibly magic sperm was, and I could tell they were itching to share their experiences with the mushroom people. There is hope. I repeated in a steady voice. "And I brought it with me when I came here from another land. You know the words of the prophecy song, and I have already begun to fulfill them."
"Can it be true?"
someone in the mushroom crowd murmured quietly, but the words were clear enough.
"It is true,"
May declared as she stepped up beside me, and her expression was fierce and determined.
"I have borne witness to these deeds myself."
I stared at each individual mushroom woman standing before me, and they glanced from May to me as they held their collective breaths. I wanted my words to resonate with them, and then with any luck, I wouldn't need to repeat myself. "I am the dreamer of prophecy." I raised both fists in the air, and the mushroom people sucked in a collective gasp. "I had a dream full of swirls and other strangeness, but then I woke up here in all the land just in time to save Una from the jaws of a sniffer snatcher." I flashed Una a proud smile, and she shot me a wink in return. "I have fought and bled for the people of all the land, and I've gone into the Clover Queen's fortress to save prisoners from the grip of darkness. They're recovering in our new home base. I am the dreamer, and I have awakened. The prophecy will be fulfilled." A beat of silence followed my proclamation, and the mushroom people just gaped at me. Then a round of uproarious cheers echoed through the crowd like a growing wave, and I grinned as I waited patiently for the din to settle. When everyone was waiting quietly for me to speak, I cleared my throat again and put my hands on my hips. "I have a dream now, a dream of defeating darkness once and for all." I stared hard into the eyes of the mushroom people, and I searched the amber, brown, and green depths for any signs of weakness or cowardice. They were afraid, but more than that, they wanted a reason to hope again. There was already more light shining in their gazes than there had been before I'd begun to talk. "Join with me, ally yourself to my cause, and claim all the land for the people once more. Join me, join with me, and aid in the return of the light. Join me in this fight." The mushroom people practically screamed with glee, and they swarmed around me to lift me up above their mushroom cap heads. They paraded me around the clearing at the edge of the mushroom valley, but after a couple of circles, they deposited me back on my feet next to May and Una. The two women flashed me proud smiles, and they lifted my hands above my head while the mushroom people continued to cheer.
"Dreamer! Dreamer! Dreamer! The dreamer awakens!"
The chant grew louder and louder until it built into a crescendo that hurt my ears, and then all of a sudden, the mushroom people fell into utter silence once more. Their glistening eyes stared at me expectantly, and I glanced at my companions. "I think I've got them hooked. Where to next?"
"We should celebrate some with the mushroom people before we continue on our journey,"
May suggested with a twinkle in her light blue eyes.
"They've only just found out about the end of the dreamer slumber."
"You make it sound like Earth was the dream world," I teased.
"Oh, indeed."
May arched one eyebrow as she pulled on the stem of her pipe.
"I am glad you woke up and came to us here."
We danced and sang the prophecy song with the mushroom women until the neon green moon rose above the eastern horizon far in the distance. Then May began to teach some of the dodo dance of death around the campfire, which we'd built up until the flames roared toward the rainbow sky. It was a pleasant evening, and I could feel my new followers slowly begin to relax and open up to me. By the time the mushroom people began to duck out and say their goodnights, I was yawning,
and the motion turned into a contagious wave of sleepy sighs around the fire.
I eyed my sleeping roll eagerly, but I didn't want to pass out until all my new followers had gone to sleep. I'd reconvene with them in the morning and plan the next phase of our journey, but I was satisfied with the addition to my forces for the time being. It wasn't much longer before I was able to lie down, but it seemed like the sun rose almost instantly after I closed my eyes. I felt rested enough, so I pushed myself up and began to roll up my sleeping pad.
"A messenger came while you were asleep,"
May informed me as soon as she noticed me moving about.
"More nightmare hounds have been spotted in the foothills of the Sunrise Mountains."
"Shit, we need to finish gathering up our army and get home," I said as I gritted my teeth. What the fuck was I supposed to do against a nightmare hound who could smell fear for miles? I could make my people feel more confident and comfortable with themselves for a short time period, but their fears and insecurities always returned when the adrenaline wore off. They were vulnerable to the strong powers of the hounds, and the only thing I had to go off of was a vague reference in the prophecy song. I was supposed to do something. Being the dreamer came with its own burdens, but I would gladly eliminate the nightmare hounds if I only knew how.
Hello? Alex?
Una scurried into a spot a few inches away from my face, and her ears twitched with curiosity.
Where are you?
I was just thinking about the nightmare hounds, I admitted with a sheepish smile. Sorry, I wasn't intentionally ignoring you.
I said we're running out of time,
the cat girl repeated.
The minions of darkness draw ever closer to our friends. You have to do something, Alex.
I still don't know what to do. I shook my head. I want to beat these assholes, but I don't know how yet.
You will learn when the time comes,
May consoled me, and she blew a smoke circle in my direction.
You are the dreamer. If anyone can do it, it's you.
That makes me feel better, I said, and I crossed the distance to sweep her into my arms. But let's get everyone safely back to New Haven before we run into a nightmare hound out here in the wilderness.
I shall regather the mushroom folk,
May offered, before she placed a sweet kiss against my lips, and her beak pressed comfortingly against my nose. Thanks. Me and Una will pack up. A short while later, I explained the urgency of the journey to the mushroom people, and a weight settled into the pit of my stomach as fear flashed across all their faces. They would draw nightmares to us by the dozens if they couldn't control their emotions, but speed was more important. So I used their anxiety to increase their pace through the Mushroom Valley. After we left the Mushroom Valley, Grug's feet were covered in mushroom people, and the cab-headed women clung to the giant's foot hairs as he stepped as carefully as he could. We traveled toward Havenwood but didn't encounter more people, and I had little expectations of finding any inhabitants still occupying the giant sequoia tree village. It was around midday when the top of the tree where Havenwood was built came into view, and I was ready to get my feet on solid ground for a while. The mushroom people had struggled to keep up with the giant's pace before they'd settled for riding on his feet, but all in all, we'd made good progress in a short span of time. Grug's usefulness was without measure. Then I saw movement in the limbs of the giant sequoia, and I motioned for everyone to stay back while I signaled May to watch my back. The dodo woman and I crept forward to the door at the base of the trunk. But no sooner had I reached for the edge of the open portal than a furry body launched at me from the hollow interior of the tree.
Stay away, foul beasts!
Razor-sharp claws reached for my face, and I caught a glimpse of pointy teeth before I shoved the furball away with a solid punch. That was when I saw the striped bushy tail, the black markings across the eyes, and the female body in between. It was a raccoon woman.
I come in peace, I shouted as I held up my hands. But if you attack me again, I will fight back.
The raccoon woman had dark, beady black eyes, and she'd painted her eyelids with a black pigment. Her hair was nappy and tangled, and it was hard to judge what color it was beneath the mud. But she froze as she stared up at me. Her crouched position bristled with tension as she judged whether to cease the fight, and I had to admire her courage. This was the type of warrior I wanted on my side. I turned my gaze up to the branches, and I wasn't surprised in the slightest to see the glint of multiple pairs of dark eyes staring down at me. The entire tree was practically crawling with raccoon people, and I hoped they were all as ferocious as their sentry.
I came to your land many days ago,
I began in a loud, clear voice, and I repeated the rest of my speech while the sentry crouched and tilted her head at me in curiosity. Her hostile air shifted slowly throughout my talk. And by the time I finished with the grand finale, her eyes were full of wonder and hope. After my speech, May, Una, Grug, and the mushroom people all gave testimony to my greatness and integrity, but I could tell the raccoon people who'd taken over Havenwood were already sold on the idea of the dreamer. I'd added another 20-odd bodies to my forces, and once again, we celebrated into the wee hours of the morning. I repeated this process each day and added more people to my ranks everywhere we went. First, we traveled from Havenwood to the pond beyond the waterfall, where I met a herd of deer women drinking from the cool water. But it was difficult for me not to drool over their long, tanned human legs. Then I went to the happy fields, but I made sure to avoid the gaze of the smiling trees, as I found all the other remaining rebels in the area. Our larger company seemed to draw more attention since more and more people were coming out of hiding as we traveled through. But I was grateful we hadn't run into any nightmares or hounds. Perhaps it was the hopeful aura my new followers were surrounded with in my presence, but whatever the reason, I hoped it held out long enough to get us home. By the time I turned back toward the Sunrise Mountains, I had a crowd of around 100 following behind me. With this in mind, I carefully avoided the area where we'd fallen into the Mole People's territory, and we made our way slowly but surely to the east. The Dreamer had an army at last. Now I just needed to train them. We traveled late into the night, since I wanted to cover as much ground under our feet as possible, but we could clearly see the path ahead by the light of the full neon green moon. The air was cool and refreshing, and we were far enough away from the happy fields that I didn't worry about a lack of oxygen. I led the procession through the woods toward New Haven, but I glanced over my shoulders at the parade of animal and fungi people following in my wake. My chest puffed out with pride, and excitement bloomed in my gut as I imagined them all trained and ready to fight the Clover Queen and the Dark King.
What was that?
Una suddenly asked, as her eyes flicked in the direction of the shadows beneath the trees. I didn't hear anything, I said, but I trusted Una's senses better than my own, so I furrowed my brow as I stared in the direction her ears pointed. Just as I was about to give up, a black blur lunged from the shadows into the stream of moonlight illuminating the path ahead, and it solidified into the shape of a massive, muscular, snarling black canine monster. The thing stood as high as my shoulder, and it hunched its shoulders as it stomped toward me. It reminded me of adult male lions stalking their prey on the savannah with their pride, and my spine shuddered as realization struck. It was a nightmare hound.
Run!
I shouted at the top of my lungs as my heart thudded against my ribcage.